Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to The Steve Jones Show on this Wednesday afternoon. It's great to have you with us. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Don't forget about Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to Lenape Solar at LenapeSolar.com. And again, that phone line open at 1-800-795-9565. Later in the show, we will talk with the head coach of the Penn State women's volleyball program, who's won 5 national championships in his career and is someone who has dominated the volleyball landscape for 3 decades now, Russ Rose. Tonight, the 4th-ranked Nittany Lions take on number 1 Nebraska at Rec Hall at 8 o'clock this evening, and we will talk with Russ Rose later in the show. Also, we'll talk with Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer, get his read on the Temple Owls as well. All that and more coming up on today's show, but before we get to that, another commentary on Kevin's wild and wacky fun world of sports with Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at SunburyMotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit SunburyMotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-286. 1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at LenapeSolar.com.
I have 42 emails in here. You have to be kidding me, really?
Not one from me this time.
That's usually in the junk mail.
I can believe that.
I don't know why yours get. I don't understand why yours gets cycled to junk mail.
Well, that's because you hit junk on mine one time, and now it's always going to go there. Ironically, it was the first email I ever sent you, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't understand why your, for whatever reason, yours goes to junk mail. It has nothing to do with anything I did.
I doubt that.
And I sit there every time and think to myself, it's kind of ironic. All right, so.
I hate to tell you, but I don't email you that often that it could go to junk mail.
So, yeah, wonderful. I will be at Damon's tomorrow night with Bill O'Brien. Looking forward to that. It's a couple things, in fact, going on tomorrow. We got that and Coaches versus Cancer, which, of course, we've talked about repeatedly on the show this week between Patrick Chambers and Steve Greer and Jamie Bestwick. It was good to have Bestwick on yesterday just to bring that British accent and the female audience with it. Not saying that you don't deliver the female audience.
No, no, I never thought that.
No, you're correct. No, no is correct. No.
I set you up.
Yeah.
So what's going on in the TMZ report today?
Not a whole lot. It's been a quiet day. I mean, the SEC is going to, looks like, launch their SEC network in August of 2014.
And they'll be run by ESPN, correct?
That is correct. It'll be run by ESPN, so they're going to join the Big Ten and the Pac-12. The Big East was going to do a network, and then they realized that nobody cared.
The Big East has sort of had a network.
Yeah, it's kind of like independent stations and stuff.
See, but that's the problem, and this is what Penn State basketball ran into for a long time, Kev. And that was, it really gets difficult in this day and age to clear stations. I mean, it's difficult.
And from a station point of view, I can understand that because there are so many commitments to your normal programming that you have to supply. It makes it difficult to give up 6 hours.
And Penn State was able to get involved in, for example, Root Sports or KBL back then, whatever, you know, they're so they're fortunate in that regard to get that. And they also had a station in Harrisburg that consistently showed Penn State basketball games. Now, of course, football was never an issue. Never was an issue. All right. But you're talking about in the basketball realm, it was difficult. And when the Big Ten Network came along, to say it solved almost everything would be an understatement. The Big Ten Network solved everything. The Big Ten Network is on in 83% of the homes in the state. Now, they're obviously looking for 100% clearance within the state, but it's difficult with the Philadelphia market and the areas around Philadelphia as to whether they can get this thing done. And I mean that's what I you know, and that the Big Ten Network's been invaluable. That's what the SEC, what they're looking for, and what the Pac-12's been looking for with its network, is that you're trying to get that kind of clearance. And in getting that kind of clearance, it makes a big difference. And the Big Ten opens that door right away for them to get the clearance in the state that they never had before. Never had it before. And when they came along, that solved a lot of problems in terms of at least your ability to see the team play. Now, how you feel about the brand of basketball, how you feel about the team, whether you're a basketball fan or not, it did change everything because now you weren't scrambling all the time and really relying on three primary outlets to do it. There was one in Harrisburg, Channel 15. There was obviously either KBL, Fox Sports, then which became Root out of Pittsburgh. That was a huge help because they got to do a lot of markets. And it was Wolf TV up in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre. But now with the Big Ten Network, you don't have to worry about that mad scramble in the ESPN regional realm to do it. And it makes a big difference. You're already on in 83% of the homes in the state. Now, I go back 20 years ago. Let's see. And in the early 90s, they were talking about how can we get, this is before the Big Ten, too. They were talking about getting clearance in the state. And I said, look, I said, WPSX-TV, Penn State Public Broadcasting, has a channel called Panorama. I said, Panorama's on in every home in the state.
Tons of cable systems at that time, yeah.
Right. I mean, they were on in every cable system in the state. You have just, it was one of those like, okay, that's free, throw it on there, fine. You know what I mean? I said, if you put games on that, then you'll be able to get into every home in the state. And they never did it. And, in fact, they ended up selling it. You know what it is today?
Isn't that
PCN.
PCN, yeah.
PCN. That was Panorama. I said, you know, and I said that, and they're like, well, you know, so I was like, okay, fine, whatever. What do I know? And that is, but now, see, the Big Ten Network solved all that. They solved all of it. So, and of course, Roy Williams had surgery to remove a tumor from his kidneys. Also, they're going to take a look at the other kidney, too. That is, that was shocking news when I heard that. I talked to a pilot once who flew Kansas. He was telling me he flew the Kansas basketball team. They said Roy Williams got on the plane, and he had an older woman with him. And he tended to her and tended to her, and, of course, he was really nice to the crew. It was done. He thanked the crew, what it meant, and they found out who she was, his mom. It's a good man. And you know, we wish him nothing. I mean, I've never met him. He's one of the few guys I haven't met. I mean, I've met Mike Krzyzewski, the whole thing. I never met him. Big East divided over whether to pursue Air Force or BYU as the 14th football member. While another option, the conference is considering creating a 16-team football league by adding Army, Air Force, and BYU. If I were them, that's what I'd do. I mean, 16's a bad number, but the Big East is a bad conference, so it fits.
Like, sorry, 16, that was funny.
It's
a bad number, bad conference. Nobody cares. Move on.
Well, that's about what it comes down to. I mean, really, who cares about Big East football?
I don't know.
The Big East current 6-year media deal rights were $3.1 million for each member. Now, for Temple, which is coming in here Saturday, that's a bonanza. But to let you know how far behind they are, each Big Ten school gets $22 million, SEC gets $20 million, ACC gets $19 million, Pac-12, I think, gets $18 or $19 million, Big 12 gets, I think, $14 or $15 million. These guys get $3 million. Okay, now, which one of the conferences in the country has within its footprint New York, Philadelphia, Washington, Boston? And potentially Baltimore if you wanted it. They have the top markets in the country. 1, 4, 6, 8. And they have squandered the opportunity. I mean, conferences with markets such as Lawrence, Ames, get more money than a conference that has New York, Philly, Boston, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, D.C., that's kind of reach they have. Unreal. Now, BYU almost joined the Big East last year because they are east of Yosemite National Park.
Is that the dividing line now? Because we were talking about it being east of the Pacific.
Well, San Diego State plays at Qualcomm Stadium. Mission Valley is east of the city.
I think I like east of Pacific. I think that's the safest.
Yeah, sure. The Red Division would consist of Louisville, South Florida, Connecticut, San Diego State, SMU, Navy, and Memphis. The Blue Division would consist of Cincinnati, Central Florida, Rutgers, Boise State, Houston Temple, and the 14th team. Each division would play 6 league games within its division and 2 games against the other division, including 1 permanent crossover rival. So you don't play everybody. It's going to take, like, literally 7 years to play everybody.
right? 7 years?
Seven years.
If they have 16 schools, it'll take 7 years.
It's a long season.
Yeah. So there you go. That is the Big East. Love the Big East. It's a league, not a conference.
Now redefine what league and conference is again.
Conference is you play everybody and everything. League okay. is like, yeah, you're sort of in, you're sort of in, you're sort of in.
I mean, I knew what it was. I just thought maybe there'd be some people that hadn't checked it when we defined league and
you're
conference.
You're kind of sort of part of, you know, like some things.
You know, like what the SEC is now, a league, thanks to the Notre Dame issue.
You mean the ACC?
Or the ACC, rather, sorry.
Well, that's... No, the AC. Everybody else is in for everything. They're the only ones getting special dispensation.
We may have to come up with a new term.
Now, dispensation works in the Notre Dame thing. Russ Rose is coming up. I will talk to the head volleyball coach of the Nittany Lions about the showdown with Nebraska.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Let It Be Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. And big event coming up tonight in Rec Hall. It is the Big Ten opener. Fourth-ranked Penn State, third-ranked Nebraska in women's volleyball. Two of the very best that have combined for 8 national championships. And they square off tonight in the Big Ten opener. We are joined by the head coach of the Nittany Lions, Russ Rose. Russ, good afternoon, my good friend. Thank you so much for the time you're giving us today.
My pleasure, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Good to hear from you.
My pleasure.
All right. So you go through your building process, and in your building process, what are you seeing at this point from the Russ Rose eye?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we played 4 weekends, and, you know, the first weekend I thought we played pretty well at Louisville. We beat Louisville at home, and since then Louisville has been undefeated and included beating Illinois and Purdue, so it's a good team. So I thought we played well that weekend. Then we came back with the Big Four and had a big win in 5 against Stanford and beat Texas the next night in 3. But since then, a couple of other Big Ten teams have also beaten Texas, so some of the luster maybe has gone off of that shiny night. And then we went to Chicago and didn't play real well, and I didn't think we played real well last weekend. So, you know, we're still relatively young at a couple of positions. We're playing 1 freshman, you know, Micah and Dom, Nia, our 3 sophomores that are starting, and, you know, Deja and Ace Scott and Katie Slay are our 3 juniors. So it's been kind of a couple of steps forward, a couple of steps back throughout the first month and a half.
Mike asked to quarterback this thing for you. Give us an idea, your thoughts on her decision making.
Well, you know, she's kind of a gunslinger. You know, she's a great server and is playing the setting position. And a lot of kids who have come out of the game were setters from the get-go, so their feel for the game is a little bit different. You know, tonight we're playing in a great team in Nebraska who's, setter is the coach's daughter, and he's certainly done a great job with her development. But, you know, I've been coaching so long, I remember when her mother played, and her mother was a great setter at San Diego State. So she's a setter who's a great floor leader and has, a whole different impact on her team than Micah has on ours. So, you know, we've had some matches where I thought Micah did a great job, and we've had some matches where you could just tell that she's a hitter who's setting.
Of course, it's going to start with the pass. How well are you digging it and passing it right now?
You know, I think Dom is really filled in well. You know, Ali Longo was our libero the last year, and she elected to go to Hawaii. So, you know, I think Dom has done a great job in the passing role, and her defense is certainly improved. And, you know, I think we're a little better individually defensively. I think Deja's improved her defensive ability. Lacey has been coming in and playing hard for us. So, you know, those are really important people that we need to play, because we don't have a plethora of players that play all the way around. We have to kind of go offense, defense it a little bit and sub some little kids in to play for the big kids.
You mentioned that you're young in many spots, and as you continue to grow, what kind of read early do you have on your leadership?
Well, I think it's been up and down. You know, I mean, it's tough when, you know, one of your captains, you know, Harp is one of our captains, and, you know, it's tough to be a influential captain when you don't play. So it's been a little challenging, I think, for her, and the other individuals are, you know, it's kind of just leaders come out of the woodwork and they just know what you need to do. And, you know, so I think last year it was one of our weaknesses, and I'm not sure we're a lot better at it, although they're more apt to talk about it than last year. It was just me keep on trying to point it out. So it's been, it's been a challenge, but, you know, again, it's still early. This is the first of 20 Big Ten matches that all have the same value. This one has a little more attention because it'll be on the Big Ten Network, and, you know, it's at least this week's ranking has us 3 and 4. Last week, Nebraska was number one in the country. So it's, it's a big match. It's an important match.
You get into a pattern where you get used to playing the Friday, Saturday. You have some time to get ready for Friday, plus obviously you're getting ready for Saturday. Give us an idea of the difference it makes playing on a Wednesday night in terms of your preparation.
Well, it's a little bit tougher because Nebraska, you know, didn't want to send us the film until Sunday night, even though they played Saturday afternoon. So they were back home on Saturday. So we could have exchanged the films earlier, but they didn't want to give it up till Sunday night. So we didn't, you know, I didn't get the film in my possession until 11:30 Sunday night. So it's you know, haven't had a lot of sleep between then and now, but that's part of the game. And, you know, when we're done with tonight's match, I'll do some of the same things in preparation for Iowa on Saturday.
You mentioned, of course, the setter, coach's daughter. What about the chess pieces around her? How solid are they at the other five spots?
Well, I mean, I picked Nebraska number one both in the conference and in the country at the beginning of the year, just based on the fact that they had five of their returning starters and their libero is back. So, you know, I don't think you can win without having a great setter. And, you know, they had two senior outside hitters. That kind of was the key piece last year that allowed Illinois to make it to the Final Four and into the championship match. So, you know, I like the tools they have. They have, they're balanced. They're strong at every position. But, you know, they had a tough match a couple days ago against a very strong Iowa State team on the road. So what I have to hope for is that we're going to have a big crowd with good energy in the building and that our kids can play hard and play well together.
That feeding off the crowd, what do you see in your players that indicates a crowd is an influence to them?
Well, it's just, I mean, I think all teams are the same way. And I just think, you know, there's that comfort zone that comes with playing at home. And the teams that can win on the road when the other team has a big crowd are very special and far and few between. You know, we had that when we had that stretch over that 3 or 4 year period where we won 4 national championships. But we had 3 years where I think we went undefeated in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten not only leads the nation in attendance, but it also had the most number of teams participating in the NCAA. So we were playing good teams with big crowds and finding ways to be victorious. So, you know, you probably, the first match of the year doesn't win or lose the conference championship for you or the national championship for sure in our sport. But it certainly gives an indication of, what other teams in the conference can look forward to when they come to your place.
What are some things you'll need to do on your side of the net that at least put you in the ball game with them to potentially swing it?
Well, I mean, I think it first starts with serving. We need Micah to be serving better than she served the last couple of weeks. She's had about, you know, she's averaging about two or three errors a game the last few matches, and that's way too many. It's not so much, you know, missing the serve. It's also, it's just also missing the points that we usually generate when she hits it in. So it's kind of a double-edged sword for us. We know that she's our top server, and we have to go have her go out there and take a good swing. But, you know, if she has those days where she's just hitting it out or hitting the net, that that has a pretty big impact on us. So we're going to have to serve well. But, you know, we're also going to have to handle the emotional component of it. I think that Nebraska is a very good team, tough team mentally. You know, I think Hannah Wirth, Jason Wirth's older brother, is an incredibly athletic family, and very kids play with the passion that she plays with. And she's, you know, maybe one of the most physical kids in the country. And she brings a lot of heat. So, you know, we're going to have to be able to handle her impact on the game. And they have a freshman middle, and we have to serve tough enough so that she doesn't go off, because she's leading the conference in hitting right now.
Russ, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time. I'm going to let you go because I know you have more work to do. But, again, thanks, and we'll get as many people in there for you as possible.
I appreciate it, my man. Thank you, and a big shout-out to Coach O'Brien and all the other coaches that all had victories last weekend.
Yep, 9-0 last weekend at Penn State, so not bad.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you.
All right, Russ Rose, head coach of the Nittany Lion women's volleyball team, 5 national championships. And appreciate the time he gave us being on the show today. Wanted to give you a big shout-out. Big fan of yours.
And I... A big fan of his.
Wonderful.
Listen, anybody that can be that successful, you can't not like them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes. So, that is tonight, 8 o'clock tonight. It's on the Big Ten Network. Should be quite a matchup.
You're not calling that one?
No.
It's not going to be the same.
Football season. I don't usually get a lot of assignments in football season.
Yeah, I could probably understand that.
They try to.
I can understand that.
They try to respect that as much as they can. Today, Yankees lead Toronto 4-2. Top of the ninth. Day-night doubleheader after last night's rain out. So, Baltimore. 14 consecutive wins now in extra innings.
After last night's two-game affair, which is basically what it was.
Right. Let's see. I didn't realize the United Football League was still in business.
Didn't we have this conversation a couple of weeks ago?
No.
Isn't that the one that somebody was in the United Football League and got bounced? Isn't that the one that has a team in Allentown area?
No.
Oh, okay. That's another one then.
No. No. I mean, they want to compete. I wish he was in this thing now.
Well, it's United on CBS Football. Sports Network. Or it will be.
Oh, that's a big plus. They have... Yeah, they're on CBS Sports Network, which is huge. They needed that. There's only 4 teams in it. The Las Vegas Locos. Really?
There's a Virginia team.
Yeah, Virginia, the Virginia Destroyers. They're coached by Marty Schottenheimer, I think.
Really?
Omaha and Sacramento.
Omaha and Sacramento, yep. Season starts Wednesday the 26th and continues through the championship game on December the 1st. See, there's 8 weeks in the season.
Yeah, they had a team in Hartford, and they couldn't make a go. Let's see. What do they have here? There's only 4 teams. CBS Sportsnet have 99 million households across the country. Jim Fossil is the president and general manager of Las Vegas. Marty Schottenheimer coaches Virginia. I don't know. Jeff Garcia, Josh McCown, J.P. Lossman, Dante Culpepper, Amon Green, Dominic Rhodes, Matt Bryant.
Graham Gano, Clifton Smith have all played in this league. Huh. Brutal. I mean, I know that they tried. They got up to six teams at one point.
Is that considered a semi-pro team or?
No, they're professional okay. football.
No, yeah. I'm just asking. I mean, I know, like around here, there's several semi-pro teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is considered to be, they're trying to make it a big league.
Now, Sunbury has one, Wilkes-Barre has one, Bloomsburg has one.
Yeah. They got up to as high as five teams in 2010. Playing eight games each. I mean, for example, the team in Hartford, Palmer, who had been the coach of the Browns, was their dude. Las Vegas plays in Sam Boyd Stadium. You'd expect that 36,000. Bill Hambricht is the owner. Jim Fossil's the coach. Bart Andrus is the coach of the Omaha Nighthawks. They play at TD Ameritrade Park. That's where they play the College World Series, 24,000. Sacramento Mountain Lions play at Raley Field in West Sacramento. Turk Schonert, former quarterback, is their coach. And Virginia Destroyers play in Virginia Beach at the Virginia Superplex, 14,000 seats, Marty Schottenheimer. Well, they got more coverage on here than ever dreamed they would. All right, our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Our thanks to Russ Rose for being with us today. We'll come back with your calls, more sports conversation on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Number 1-800-795-9565. Lenape Solar Hotline. Go to LenapeSolar.com. Thanks to Russ Rose for being on the show. We'll have Harry Donahue tomorrow, who's the play-by-play voice of Temple football. And we'll also have a guest from ESPN.com to talk about Notre Dame. Now we have a lot of Notre Dame fans in the area. But they have a big game this week with Michigan. It's in South Bend. I'm very impressed with Notre Dame's defense after not being impressed with Notre Dame's defense for almost 20 years. So, that is tomorrow's show. Let's try to keep it moving. Joe Susan joins us on Friday, by the way. I love talking football with Joe Susan. Be just a great no-nonsense guy to talk to.
He doesn't sugarcoat anything.
No, doesn't lapse into coach speak or anything like that. He just talks football with you. I just like talking to the guy. We'll have him on Friday's show. And Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer on Friday's show. And trying to get Steve Joachim, the analyst for Temple, on as well, who started his career at Penn State, by the way. Actually was a quarterback here, and John Huffnagel beat him out, and he went to Temple. Had himself a great career at Temple. He's now their analyst, working with Harry. We'll have Harry Donahue tomorrow. So that's all coming up. Harry Donahue, Temple Network. Take a look at a reporter covering Notre Dame tomorrow. And much more.
Saturday's a blueout, right?
Saturday's a blueout, yes.
Now, honestly, I can't remember. So, was there a blueout before?
No.
Is this the first blueout?
Yeah, it's the first blueout.
Okay. I didn't remember.
About, like, the students doing like a code blue once. I think they tried doing like a student doing code blue. But then the whiteout thing really caught on, so they went in that direction. Yankees won today. They beat Toronto 4-2. Andy Pettit, five strong innings at the front of this thing for the Yankees in his return. It just shows you the state of the game right now where, I mean, that's what you're relying on. But he was the winner. He's 4-3 now. And Andy Pettit pitched very well today. He went the opening five innings today, gave up four hits, no runs, struck out three, walked two. Threw 75 pitches. Guy's a 2.97 ERA. Not
ball
bad.
Game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Yeah. 243 wins in his career. Is he a Hall of Famer? I say yes.
It's so confusing what it takes now to get into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I look at his postseason, man. That's what I look at. He's had a, you know, he's a, you know, guy's pitching the biggest pressure games going. I mean, I think that there's something to be said about that. You know, when you're pitching on the biggest stage and you're performing on a high level in the biggest stage, you know, I think that says something. And that's, you know, look, hey, I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan. But this guy has pitched in huge games in his life, okay? This is not a guy who's like a 20-game winner, whatever, for the fifth-place team. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, let's be really honest here. Steve Carlton was a great pitcher. Steve Carlton was not a great postseason pitcher. Was he? Whether it was at the Cardinals or whatever it happened to be. In the postseason, you know, he was, and he had some great years in his career. But Andy Pettit, has had really a great career. One of the better pickoff moves of any left-hander you'll ever see. And yeah, has the guy been a 20-game winner? No, I don't think he's ever been a 20-game winner, has he? No, he's been a 21-game winner once. But he's 19-10 in the postseason, kids. 19-10 with a 3.83 ERA. I'm sorry, you win 19 games with the money on the table? You got to be looked at.